Yeah. What's up, America?
Whoa,
kick it off, Dre.
Oh, man. Oh, it's about to get started. Are you ready?
Blog Talk Radio.
America, are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Nice and loud. Here we go. Let's kick it off. That's right.
What's up, Miami? I know y'all partying down at the NBA Finals.
I love it.
Your time is up, my time is now.
What's up, Oklahoma City?
My time is now. It's a fresh time where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
I love it. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Oh, man, what a beautiful, beautiful day. Today is Wednesday, June the 20th, and, of course, don't adjust that dial. Talking Sports is on the air. Andre Peterson joined by... Who are we joined by?
None other than Robert Ford. Yeah, you're right.
Ford. There you go. Sure, you're right. All right, so as always, looking forward to explosive Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I threw Rob a curveball there, so all is well. But anyway... Of course, we got a packed show for you guys. As always, yours truly will set the table for what we're going to talk about. Obviously, we're going to recap the NBA Finals, game number 4. Looks like the Heat are clearly trying to stay in the driver's seat there. I'm going to find out about Percy Harvin, some talks, and I don't think he's very happy in Minnesota. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about, once again, Bounty Gate. We can't get enough of that in the NFL. Anthony Hargrove. He said, it's not my voice in the videotape. Do we believe him? And, of course, we're going to talk about some NBA mock draft talk because the draft is next week, speaking upon us. Obviously, got a lot of fun things to talk about. And we'll talk about some trade news that just came down as well for your New Orleans Hornets. So, Rob, how you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah. Doing great, man. Doing fantastic. What about you?
I too, sir, am doing fantastic. So, I guess... without further ado, let's give some shout-outs for people that want to call in and also follow us. The number for anyone that wants to call in for the show is 424-243-9519. Don't forget, follow us at 12th Man Sports. That's the number 12, T-H-M-A-N Sports, and also via Facebook as well. So without further ado, sir, let's jump in and talk about game number 4 for the NBA Finals, and as I said before, it looks like the Heat are clearly in the driver's seat, and if you would have told me earlier that the Heat would be in this position now, I mean, it's still not over quite yet, but it's going to be tough for the Thunder to make a comeback, and I didn't think that the Heat were a complete team, so I guess, Robert, let's get your thoughts, and obviously we're going to touch base on a very controversial issue with Mr. One Russell Westbrook, obviously, we'll talk about him, and I'll give you some numbers, Rob, for his assist, and kind of let you know if is he doing the role of a traditional point guard, and he's the cause of why the Thunder are kind of losing. So, get your thoughts on the game. I know I've been talking a lot. Turn it over to you, sir.
Well, yeah, I think if you're the Miami Heat right now, being up 3-1 after losing Game One, you have to be pleased, of course, and they're learning how to close ball games out. And so that was one of the question marks. There were a couple of questions with the Miami Heat. Can they close out close games? And were they a tough team? And I think they have answered the bell with both of those, probably starting, you know, the last couple of games of the last series, maybe even going back to the Indiana series. When Indiana jumped off out on 2-1, they had to show some toughness and be resilient without one of their key players in Chris Bosh, and they had to do the same thing in the last series. And this is actually the first series where they've had a healthy dose of Chris Bosh since the opening series against the Knicks. And so maybe we kind of underestimated how good this team could possibly be going into the finals with the healthy Chris Bosh. And we saw how well the Thunder played winning 4 straight against an old Spurs team. And I don't think the Thunder have faced a defense like the Heat. And I know you and I both picked the Thunder to win this series. And but going back to December, right after the lockout ended, you and I both also picked, you can go through our archive shows for our listeners, you can go back and listen to our archive shows back in December. We also both picked the Heat and the Thunder to go to the finals this year. But if I remember correctly, at that time, we both picked the Heat to win. And,
wow.
But at the start of this year's finals, you and I both picked the Thunder. So, but, you know, you kind of go with ebb and flow and, you know, what's happened recently. And, you know, I think we both kind of felt like the Thunder was on a high and, you know, could possibly win this series. And it's not over yet, you know, and I think the Thunder are going to come out fighting. And it's not over yet. And if they somehow steal tomorrow night's game, I mean, they have two straight games at home. And that's not an easy building to go get a win in, and by any stretch of the imagination. And so I think if you're the Heat, you definitely want to close this thing out tomorrow night. You do not want to go back to OKC, and because nothing is guaranteed once that series goes back to OKC. I know there's never been a team to come back from a 3-1 deficit, but it, like I said, if OKC wins tomorrow night, I mean, I think they're still right in this thing. And we're going back home and have one of the better home court advantages. And you mentioned Russell Westbrook. This is a tough one. I think Westbrook had a heck of a game last night. And I think he had to step up. One thing, I think Kevin Durant is a great player. But one thing I have noticed, and maybe in the last couple of games, he doesn't like when defenders get physical with him. And that's something he's going to have to work on this offseason. And last night, you can see when the Heat was getting physical with him, he was getting a little frustrated. And Westbrook kind of had to take over the game last night. And wow. And that's one thing I've noticed with Durant. Kurt Rambis, I thought, made a key point. He says the one thing I love, he said the one thing he loves about the NBA Finals is that players' weaknesses can be exposed.
Yep.
And then what will basically happen is when those players' weaknesses are exposed, they'll go through the summer and improve their weaknesses. You say, we saw with LeBron James last year. He didn't have a post-up game last year in the finals. Now this year he comes back and adds the post-up game. So now you're going to have to see Kevin Durant get a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to learn how to deal with the physical play to take that next step. He's already a superstar. I'm not taking that away from him by any means. But, you know, there's little things that in your game that gets a little exposed. And that part of his game is starting to get a little bit exposed in this series.
Excellent, excellent points as mentioned. And I'm going to give you a couple of stats, Rob. I'm just going to throw a couple numbers out for you, okay? 10 for 24, 8 for 18, 10 for 26, 20 for 32. Now, 11, I'm going to say 4, then I'm going to say 7, and then I'm going to say 5. Now, what I gave you were all numbers for Russell Westbrook.
His points and assists, yes.
Mm-hmm. Points and assists. Now, he in the game that they won, game number one, Westbrook had 11 assists, okay? That was game number one, the first game that they won. He also shot, he was 10 for 24. Kevin Durant, surprisingly, was actually 9 for 19 and scored, I think that was his first game. Actually, no, he was 12 for 20. And he had 36 points. That's been his high for this series. So game number one. The last game, game number four, actually, he only had 5 assists. He was 20 for 32. Now, this is the thing. Now, I agree with you that Russell Westbrook had to take over, but do you want your point guard, number one, out shooting the supposedly superstar, and do you want your point guard with 5 assists? And I guess this is the thing, too, I mean, because, you know, obviously there's different point guards and different molds of guards too. So I guess give me your thoughts about this because I know he's getting beat up, and I don't think it's necessary that he has to get beat up as much. But I do have to say, you know, if he had like you know maybe 10 assists or 12 assists and had that type of a game, kind of more like a Rondo type of a performance or something like that, you know, maybe we won't be talking about this particular loss too. And it was still a close game, obviously. But you know, if you look at the numbers. You know, obviously, Durant only finished with, he only finished, if I'm not mistaken, with, I think, 32 points or something like that. I'll verify that, too. But, you know, very interesting.
Yeah, last night he had 25, I believe. 25 or 26 last night.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at things. So, yeah, I think he finished with 28. But go ahead, finish up your thoughts as far as, do you think, like, if you want your point guard only having, like, 5 assists, if you will, and kind of your thoughts, like I said, I mean, like I said, everyone's giving him a hard time. Had a fantastic game, but sometimes numbers don't matter if you end up losing the game.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think based on what happened. Do I think you want your point guard to be a facilitator and get all the other players involved? Absolutely. And that's definitely what you expect from your point guard. And Russell Westbrook, he is what he is. He's a combo guard. And so what I mean by that is he's not necessarily a point guard or he's not necessarily a two guard. He's a combination of both. I don't think Austin Rivers is going to be quite the player Westbrook is, but he's just another kind of player that's kind of going to be in that mode. Not quite a one, not quite a two. You're just going to live the fact where he's going to be a combo guard. And basically, he's going to have some nights where he's going to score more, some nights he's going to pass more. But I'm going to focus on the game last night. And here's what I believe what the Miami Heat strategy has been. And I think in the last couple of games, it's starting to work out really well. What they're doing is they're doubling Kevin Durant almost every time he gets the ball now. They're shading a guy to flash at him almost every time he gets the ball. They are forcing Durant to get rid of the basketball. And so he hasn't been able to take as many shots. What the Miami Heat is basically saying is, hey, anybody else can beat us, but it will not be Kevin Durant. And so if you really look at the game last night, Russell Westbrook had no choice but to try to take over because what the way they were defending Kevin Durant. And they were being really physical with Kevin Durant, too. And they're really trying to take him out of his game. They want to make sure, you know, Kevin Durant can shoot over anybody, but when you double people his way, you know, I'm sure he's good at Matt, you know somebody's open, so it's forcing him to get rid of the basketball. And that's kind of been a Heat strategy. And, you know, and I think if they were doubling, for example, LeBron James is getting double-teamed as well, just about practically every time he touches the ball as well. But LeBron is such a great passer, and he can beat the double-team with his pass. And as you look at his stats from last night, he had 12 assists.
Yes,
Durant doesn't have that element in his game just yet. I think Durant is the best scorer in the game, best shooter, one of the best shooters in the game, no doubt about it. But the one area where LeBron just still has a better all-around game. I don't think LeBron is a shooter Durant is. I don't think he's the scorer that Durant is. But when you look at all across the stat sheet, all-around game, LeBron is still ahead of him. So you saw Durant make some ill-advised passes out of some of those double teams too. And so I think last night the Heat kind of forced OKC's hand a little bit, you know. Somebody else is going to have to beat us. It's not going to be Durant. And Westbrook was the guy that tried to do it, and it just didn't get enough out of James Harden last night.
Yeah, I agree. Good points. Real quick, for those who want to check in, we always want to throw out the number, and also don't forget to definitely give us your feedback. Let us know how we're doing. If you actually enjoyed the show and post it, let us know. The number, once again, is toll-free at 424-243-9519. Also, don't forget to follow us via Twitter at 12th Man Sports, and also don't forget to check us out via Facebook. Now, I'm going to go back to something that you said earlier, too, Rob, and I think you made a great point about this as far as, you know, Kurt Rambis's points, as far as whenever a lot of your weaknesses get exposed in the finals, and I think it's a great point, too, about Durant as far as I've always considered him to be a very thin player. He's been very durable. He's surprised me. I'm not sure how much weight he's lifted. Obviously, he's got to do some. But, you know, I agree with you. I don't think he's that much of a physical player. He's not used to, you know, getting that contact, going a lot to the rim. He goes sometimes, but, you know, whenever you look at a LeBron James, he's been blessed with having that NBA-ready body. I mean, this dude's just a physical player, too. And, you know, I think if the Heat pull it out, obviously I think it's going to help Durant. He's still a young player. Him and Westbrook, they got a very exciting nucleus. But as you said, he goes over the summer. Maybe he does get that element to his game to become more of a slasher, more of a complete player. Because like you said, you hit it right on the head. Dude is an incredible scorer. Dude can finish. But he's just not known as being that physical type of a player just yet. And I think that's the next thing. Obviously, a lot of questions if he's a good rebounder, if he's a good assist guy. And we had I think I asked you a question off air. Who do you think most guys would prefer to play with? Would it be LeBron James or Kevin Durant? And you said, I believe you said James because he just is more of an all-around player. And I agree with that statement too. Even though Durant may be the more of an explosive scorer, I think James has a more better all-around game. I think it's good for him too now because he's finally starting to shed that moniker of not closing out games too. So we'll see how everything plays out. and what else is going on too. So I'll let you finish. And also, I guess we want to talk about a big trade that just happened with your Hornets too. If you want to talk about that, Rob.
Oh yes, yes, and based on what the New Orleans Hornets and Washington Wizards did today, I think it's a great trade for both teams, believe it or not. And I think if you're the Washington Wizards, you get a couple of veteran players in the Mecca Okafor and Trevor Ariza. And when healthy, can be some solid defenders. And so basically what you're getting here, if you're the Washington Wizards, you got a roster right now of Nene, Jordan Crawford, and, of course, John Wall. And now you add Ariza and Okafor, that could be your starting five right there. And, you're not going to win a championship with that starting five just yet, but I think it's a bridge to bring that team to possibly even playoff contention. Because Okafor and Ariza is going to get it done on the defensive end, and you got a guy like Nene, and you got a point guard like John Wall who's up and coming. Jordan Crawford is probably better suited to be a sixth man. And I think, the Wizards still have the number three pick in the draft. And, right now I have them taking Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. So he could definitely even come in and help that ball club out right away as well. So, you're looking at a pretty good team that should be able to compete in a lot of ball games going into next season with their roster. Now, from the Hornets standpoint, the Hornets just got $30 million in cap space. And Okafor and Ariza, unfortunately, just wasn't quite cutting it with the Hornets. And Al-Farouq Aminu had pretty much taken over the small forward position for Ariza. And so you're looking now, you're going to get Anthony Davis, you got Al-Farouq Aminu, you got Jared Jack, and you got Eric Gordon in the backcourt. And you have a number 10 pick, and now you got $30 million in salary cap space, where you can compete to sign some big-time players this offseason to really improve your roster. And, you can get on the phone with Darren Williams this summer. Not saying Darren Williams is going to come to New Orleans, but you can get on the phone with him. You have the money to pay him. And, if you can somehow convince him to come play with Eric Gordon and Anthony Davis, you can now get on the phone with him. And, as of right now, Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Dallas Mavericks are probably the two leaders for Darren Williams. But if you're the Hornets, you can get on the phone with them now. And so, you just freed up $30 million in cap space. And you got a second-round pick that maybe you can get a player out of it if you get lucky. Second-round picks don't always turn out to be great players in the NBA, but we'll just have to wait and see what translates out of that.
Yeah, like I said, I think what it does for the Hornets is it gives them hope. And this is something that's very interesting, too. You see, like, a lot of teams – like the Wizards, and I think they're kind of sick of rebuilding or kind of sick of that word. So they've got some guys that are, hey, these are some solid players. Just go ahead and add them right now. And as you mentioned, it may not be a championship team, but you're actually building those pieces. And if you're the Hornets, like you said, you've done a great job. You've cleared a lot of cap space, maybe not for this year, maybe for next year, but who knows if you get that one free agent to come and sign with you guys. Like you said, you're adding different pieces. You're building. And it's very—it's a good thing for you guys because you have something that, as Hawks fans, we're kind of upset about. You have cap space. You have some flexibility, too. I'll let you finish. It sounds like you had a thought there, too. I was going to say, too, keep a lookout, too. I keep hearing some rumblings that the Warriors are looking to trade their pick, the number 7 pick, and I don't think Mark Jackson is a fan of young guys, too, and I keep hearing rumblings that they are targeting Josh Smith, too. So we'll see. That's something that's going to go down. I'm not saying it is, but I think it's something that we'll have to keep an eye on about too. So just FYI there.
Yes, and there's a couple of rumors going around with that number 7 pick with the Warriors. There's even some talk about them trading down in the draft. There's even some talk, there's a rumor at the Hornets maybe even interested in moving up from 10 to 7.
Yeah.
There's also another rumor that the Hornets may look to trade down with Houston and get 14 and 16 for number 10. So that should be interesting in the coming days as well to kind of see what transpires with the draft coming up here. Right now, speaking of Golden State, for our friends in the Bay Area, I have the Warriors taking Dion Waiters from Syracuse, an explosive two-guard who they could possibly pair with Stephon Curry at the point. And you can also hopefully, help people to forget about Monte Ellis. With a two-guard like Dion Waiters in his draft.
Wow, good stuff. I guess with that, let's go ahead and transition right into the draft. The draft talk, it's like I said, is happening next week, 26th. Is it 26th or 28th? Am I off on that? Am I thinking it's 26th here?
It's the 28th, next Thursday.
28th, yeah.
Next Thursday night, ESPN.
I was thinking it was that Thursday, too. Anyway, I had to get the dates right. But some quick notes, and this is how, my, how a year has changed. And some draft talk that you're hearing is that a very promising guy by the name of Jared Solinger is actually getting a lot of red flags. He's actually dropping in the draft, and hear some things about him having some back problems. And he's a sophomore, obviously. And it's amazing because if he would have came out last year, I guarantee as a freshman, after his freshman season, he probably would have been a top five pick, no doubt.
Yes.
I'm not saying he would have been drafted over Kyrie Irving, but I think he would have been a top five pick. So what do you hear about
him? Would have been a top three pick last year, yeah.
Yeah, easily. And I guess it's kind of sad because and I think that Solinger is actually a pretty good player. Now, I don't know. Obviously, he may not be as athletic as some people prefer, but watch him get drafted by a team like the Spurs or something like that and just kind of turn out to be a dynamic player. I can see something like that happening where he may get drafted, obviously, in the 20s or something like that, and the team kind of gets a steal. And, you know, because like I said, he had a lot of promise. I mean, I don't know why all of a sudden, you know, he's getting all these different, you know, with some problems here. I guess I don't know if you want to elaborate on that particular conversation.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring up a player from a few years ago that came out of Pittsburgh, Deion Blair,
yep.
who's with the Spurs right now, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing up
yeah.
the Spurs. Deion Blair was a top-notch college player. Many people felt that he could have been a top 10 NBA pick. And what happened with Blair, the same issue, medical reasons. There were a lot of NBA doctors that just didn't pass him physically. Even though he was getting it done on the court, he didn't pass him physically, and a lot of teams passed on Deion Blair, and he failed all the way to the second round. And the Spurs drafted him. The Spurs didn't play him that much this year in the playoffs, but if you watch the Spurs through regular season this year, he started most of the season, was a key player, and he has been a key player for him the last few years. And so, you know, he was a steal in that draft. And Jared Solinger, you're right, could be the same kind of player. And I personally believe Jared Solinger has definitely better physical tools than Deion Blair. Jared Solinger is a solid post-up player. He can shoot the 15-foot face-up shot. The problem you're going to have with Jared Solinger, he's not that athletic. So he's going to get a lot of his shots blocked against players that are a little bit more athletic than him. So that's the concern that you have. Then you also have the concern with him with weight-wise. I think he needs to lose about 20 pounds
mm-hmm.
and so he can handle the up-and-down NBA game. And right now, if you look at my latest mock draft, I have him going number 20 to Denver. So he has slid in my mock draft as well. I have him going to 20 to Denver. I think he could be a solid addition for a coach like George Karl. You know, there are medical concerns. I hear that some NBA teams are going to take him off their board, but I hear there's several other NBA teams that are still high on him. But I kind of think he's not going to fall as much as Blair did all the way to 36, but I think he will fall a little, and he'll go 20 to the Denver Nuggets.
Gotcha. Like I said, if anyone wants to kind of get your thoughts or want to hear Rob talk about a player for their team, obviously give us a call. Let us know your thoughts because, you know, obviously very talented, very knowledgeable guy. Rob spitting out some stuff. Once again, the call-in number, we got about 6 minutes to go in the show, 424-243-9519. Also, don't forget to tweet us at the number 12, THManSports, and also follow us on Twitter as well. And I guess a couple of thoughts that I was thinking about, too, as far as this draft. If you're a Hawks fan, I'm sorry, I got to ask you this question. I know you had us taking Andrew Nicholson. Tell us something about this guy. You know, from St. Bonaventure, because I don't think we've talked about him just yet for us Hawks fans like me. So I'm a little excited about this pick.
Well, real quick, in my latest mock drafts, I actually have the Hawks taking Royce White forward from Iowa State. I have Nicholson going two picks earlier to the Celtics at 21 now. But I'll comment on Nicholson first for those of you all listening in the New England area. Andrew Nicholson is a Canadian, played college basketball at St. Bonaventure. Very good player. This guy's got some very good twos, very good low post player. He's about 6'9". He's actually pretty athletic, too. Can run the floor, block shots. I think he's definitely a player that can come in a year or two, be a starter for an NBA team, and can definitely play as a rookie. He's performed extremely well at a lot of the combines. And I think the only concern is you're concerned a little bit about some of the competition level that maybe he played against at St. Bonaventure. That's maybe the only concern. But I think the way he's performed at the NBA combines, that a lot of scouts are now really high on him. I could really see him going into the teams. I really could. I really could see him moving up. But it wouldn't surprise me. But right now I'm going to leave him at about 21. I moved him up a couple of notches in my draft board. 23 for the Atlanta Hawks, Royce White. This is a guy who played at Iowa State, probably the average basketball fan is not aware of this kid, but he's a very unique athlete. He's about 6'8", but he's about 260 pounds. But even though he's 260 pounds, this guy is great athletic ability, can really run the floor, and he's almost like a point power forward, if you want to call it. He's got a power forward body. But he's like a point power forward. He can handle the ball out on the perimeter. Great passer. Really good player. Really, the guy has top 10 talent. I'll be honest with you. If somebody can get past anxiety disorder that he has, this guy has top 10 talent.
It's what we need. And, anxiety problems. It's what we need. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, basically the issue is he doesn't like to fly.
Right,
and if you
right.
put him on medication, he's a little sluggish with the medication. So you got to get him past his flying fears. You know, if you're going to be on planes and almost every other night in the NBA, but if somebody can get past that, he had a few off-the-field issues. It seems like he's going to all the meetings with all the teams and sounded really confident that he's over that. And I think that's not really an issue any longer. I think the main thing is the anxiety disorder. But if he can get past that, this guy will be a steal for somebody in the NBA draft.
Gotcha, gotcha. And it's pretty ironic, too, and I like that, Rob, because I know he's been mentioned with a lot of our drafts, too, as far as the Hawks do. So, you know, no one knows what this is actually after that number one pick. We have a lot of different guesses about what's going on, so it's going to be a very exciting, actually a very exciting draft, I definitely believe so. I was going to ask you real quick, because this is pretty ironic, too. A couple years ago, obviously, Hawks fans, you don't want to keep reliving this draft whenever we drafted Marvin Williams, number two. I guess we shouldn't feel that bad because, obviously, Milwaukee traded Andrew Bogut, the number one pick. So first two picks didn't pan out in that particular year, and obviously that was the year we missed on Chris Paul and Darren Williams. And this is ironic that in this particular draft, Rob, it seems like we have a lot of centers or a lot of seven-footers. Who do you think the best one outside of Anthony Davis is as far as a good center? Because, like I said, in this draft, we got a lot of big men, and it seems to say like a lot of these guys are going to take a minute to develop. And we got about 2 minutes left in the show, so definitely give us some time in the OT. We'll talk a little bit more about Percy Harvin and about Anthony Hargrove, obviously. But to kind of wrap this up, Rob, let's start getting ready to head to the OT.
Yes. The next best big man in the draft is clearly Andre Drummond. The guy is almost 7 feet tall, 260 pounds, got great size, great athletic ability. You know, you question his drive a little bit, but he's definitely the next big man in the draft. But let's move on and prepare for the OT. We can talk a little bit more about Andre Drummond. For those of you all going to miss us on the OT, join us next Wednesday night, the night before the draft. June 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We'll be talking more about the NBA champion. We'll probably be crowned by then. We'll definitely be crowned by then. So we'll definitely talk about that and the NBA draft. Join us next week, people. We hope you have a fantastic week. Until then, good night, people.
Yeah, and like I said, for those that want to definitely check us out on Facebook, we're here. Please definitely tell us your thoughts. Let us know any show topics you want us to definitely expound upon. As mentioned, I've given you a couple of things, but I'm just going to repeat that one more time. For those who want to call in, always keep this down for the number to call in. We'd love to definitely hear your thoughts, 424-243-9519. Also, we are on Twitter and Facebook. The Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMAN, 12 Man Sports, and via Facebook as well, Facebook/ the same thing, 12 Man Sports. We do a lot of regular updates, definitely things that are going on, so follow us. And as Rob mentioned, we're here to kind of definitely expound upon a lot of different fun things. Obviously, you know, we're kind of in the NBA mode, and training camps are starting in the NFL, so we're going to definitely talk about that next week, as Rob mentioned. We'll talk about draft and all that fun stuff, too. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys. And I love it. So, Rob, as we get ready, I guess you were talking about Mr. Andre Drummond, I guess. So finish up your thoughts, and we'll definitely touch base and talk about some stuff with Percy Harvin and also Anthony Hargrove.
Yeah, and Andre Drummond is definitely a guy by the name of Andre that can really play basketball for change. You know,
dude, anybody named Andre is awesome, man. So I'm definitely feeling this pick.
But getting back to Andre Drummond, yeah, he's about 6'11", 260, 265 pounds. He's got great athletic ability for his size. He can run up the floor. He's got a great wingspan. And the potential is there for this guy to be a legitimate center in the NBA. Right now, I have him going number 5 in my mock draft to the Sacramento Kings. And, actually, take that back. I have him going number 6 to the Portland Trail Blazers. And you pair this kid with LaMarcus Aldridge there in Portland, you can definitely build a solid front line for years to come. And if this guy can get to the point where he can average 13 points, 10 rebounds a night in the NBA, you got yourself a really good basketball player. And if he can get it done on a defensive end, and the talent is no question with Andre Drummond. It's the drive. Can he get with the right coach that can push the right buttons with him to give him the drive to reach his talent level? Jim Calhoun believes, you know, he has it. His coach in college at Connecticut, you know, says that you'll be disappointed if you don't take him. And so, of course, you know, Jim Calhoun, his coach, is really pushing the team. He believes he should go as high as number 2. But I think definitely he's going to go number 6 somewhere in that ballpark. Right now I have him going 6 to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Tends to be a lot of players like that, Rod, that just you keep hearing the word potential. And, you know, this guy, you know, he has this and this and that, but, you know, the drive's not there, or he just seems like he's not interested. And I don't know why that is. I mean, there's a couple of guys that you're coming in, you know, this guy's like a shooter. Like, you know, obviously I think where's my guy from Vanderbilt? I think it's John Taylor, Jeffrey Taylor. Please forgive me.
Yeah, John Jenkins is the shooter. It might
be
the shooter.
Yeah, I'm drunk here. Yeah. So you hear guys that, you know, but you know that this guy has this identifiable trait. And it's interesting, too, whenever you're watching this, because – I don't understand how these guys are coming in and you don't have you don't have the will or desire. It's very baffling to me. Obviously, and we could talk about Harrison Barnes. I mean, I think he's been saying the right things and he's got the same thing, all the potential, but you keep hearing the word, is he going to turn it on? Deron Lamb, I mean, excellent shooter too. Does he need to get pushed? I don't understand what's going on with these guys, you know? So, you know, hopefully, as mentioned, these guys can come in and definitely prove that they want to do something, because you know, nobody has the will of Michael Jordan anymore, it seems like, unless you're Tyler Hansbrough.
Or Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah. So it's just very interesting to kind of see how everything's playing out. But, I mean, like I said, it's you know, you got one superstar. I don't know if we're going to look back on this draft and see, you know, who's going to actually come out of this. You know, maybe Austin Rivers, you know, maybe a couple of guys that, you know, Royce White, if you will. There's a couple of steals in there, Jared Sollinger, just. You know, we'll see how everything plays out in this particular draft, and I know there's a lot of seven-footers, a lot of interesting players in this draft as well.
Yeah, one last comment about the draft before we move on to our next topic. I think this is definitely a draft that is deep with players. There's only one superstar in this draft, and it's Anthony Davis. But there's a lot of quality players in this draft, players that can play in the NBA for 10 to 12 years. I think you're going to find those players all the way up into the early second round. And so you're definitely going to have a player that can come in and help your ball club going into next season. I definitely think there's a lot of quality players. May not have a lot of superstars, but there's a lot of quality players in this draft.
Good deal. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, let's talk about where do you want to go, Rob? Let's talk about Percy or let's talk about the Hargrove. I'm going to leave this actually in your hands.
Let's really quick go into the Percy Harvin issue, wide receiver of the Minnesota Vikings. It seems as though he's requesting a trade from the Vikings. And so one of the things I wanted us to kind of debate, if he does get traded, which looks like he's not, so we're just going to have a little fun with this. The Vikings are saying they're not going to trade him.
Yep.
What team can he go to get them over the hump?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I actually, if I'm just off the top of my head, Rob, I can see two teams. I can see possibly a if you're a Patriots. Now, bear with me. I know he's very similar to Wes Welker, but I think he has a little bit more quickness, a little bit more dynamic. And I think he can definitely come in and maybe if you if the Patriots like doubling up and having two tight ends, they can have two slot guys and just go nuts with that. Obviously, they have too many wide receivers, but I think that'd be a good fit. I think he can take the place of some guys too. Another team that I think he can do pretty well is a team like maybe the Houston Texans. I'm not sure why I'm going all AFC, but obviously with Andre Johnson, he's been kind of hurt the past couple of years. I think having another playmaker to join with Arian Foster, I think that can be a dangerous team offensively. So, this is just me off the top of my head, helping the team to go over the hump. But what are your thoughts? I'm just kind of making up some things here.
Well, I really like what you said there about the Houston Texans there. I think that is definitely a ball club that can use another weapon on the perimeter. And I really believe if that Houston Texans team was healthy last year, they're at least going to the AFC Championship game. I thought talent-wise, and I think Wade Phillips did a heck of a job, building that defense up down there in Houston. And talent-wise, I mean, I think they're right there contending for an AFC title this coming season. If they can somehow keep a healthy Matt Schaub. And I clearly believe that. I don't see too many teams with more talent than they do. But if they can get another player out on the perimeter and keep a healthy Andre Johnson and Matt Schaub, that can be one explosive ball club. It can definitely be in New Orleans playing for the World Championship possibly in February. We'll wait and see. And, I mean, as of now, I probably would still pick New England, but New England is usually a safe pick. But I would say Houston is right there knocking on the door and could possibly be playing in the Super Bowl representing the AFC this coming February. Another team I'm going to throw out here is the Dallas Cowboys. And I think you and I both picked the Cowboys maybe third in the NFC East, but I think they're another team that could be lacking some perimeter players. And could really, possibly improve their standing in the NFC East. And I'm going to throw out the Dallas Cowboys. And another team I think that he can help is the team like the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, even though they got Sidney Rice, they don't really have a whole lot else other than that. And I think the Seahawks are really close as well. I really do think they're really close to competing for a playoff spot. They can get the quarterback positions straightened out. And so those are a couple of teams, but I really like the pick you made of the Houston Texans. That's, I think, out of all the ones we've talked about, that's the one I think I like the most, where he can go in and really help a team get over the hump, because I think Houston is knocking on the door already.
Nice. Yeah, like I said, that's just one I was thinking about, too, because you have, like you said, they definitely surprised some people, and not because of what they did, but also I think you said because obviously things were good with them, and they were definitely making like a lot of noise, like you said, and it's surprising they did this without Mario Williams for a lot of the season too, because he was hurt too. So, they just kind of kept clicking. So that's a great job coaching, and just a couple more pieces as you mentioned, and they would definitely make some moves too. So that's why I think they wanted to kind of build up some things offensively to make sure that just in case they lose to Andre Johnson, they can keep that ball rolling. All right, it's about 11:38. We got about 6 minutes or so. So let's talk a little bit more about Bounty Gate and what's going on with Anthony Hargrove. I once again am going to defer to the Sage fans on this. Do you think that his voice was on the tape, Rob? I mean, what's going on? I mean, do you think he's telling the truth, or is it like, come on, dude? Because I'm looking at the tape. I'm listening. I'm like, come on, Anthony. Just shh, be quiet. Just be quiet. What are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, really being honest with you, I can't really say one way or the other. And because if you really look at the video, you can't really tell whose voice it is. And so, I mean, how can you really tell? And I guess you would have to put them through some kind of a voice analysis to really see, whose voice it really is on the video. But even, reporters around the country are looking at it and say, yes, he's telling the truth. I mean, how can you tell it's his voice? And so, it's really weird. And, I've said this numerous times on the show, And, you know, I know, you know, I am a Saints fan, and, you know, and it may sound like I'm defending the team a little bit, but I still just believe the NFL has totally mishandled this whole situation. And it really, I mean, in a court situation, somebody reveals evidence, and then the other party has an opportunity to defend with evidence that's going against them. Roger Goodell has not revealed the evidence until a few days ago, and he doesn't even give the party an opportunity to defend what's being charged against them. I can't see how anybody can believe that's fair. And you know, I'm not going to say, I know the Saints are guilty of a pay-for-performance program. There's no doubt about that. They are guilty for a pay-for-performance program. They've admitted to that. But what they are not guilty of, or what they're fighting, I can't see them fighting this the way they are if this was true. I really just can't see that. And there's yet to be any evidence to prove that this team has run a bounty program. And I still think the whole situation is being mishandled. And you know, like I say, I'm a Saints fan, so it really is hard for me to really comment on it. Maybe we need somebody that's kind of neutral to kind of comment on this whole thing. But I just think the whole situation has been totally mishandled. And the Saints organization is privately, based on local reporters, are privately seething on this whole situation. But Roger Goodell has put a gag order even on the Saints officials on the situation.
Well, you know, hopefully that's where I try to be the voice of balance, because, you know, outside looking in.
You're a Falcons fan, too. You know, that's a large rivalry, so we need somebody that's really neutral.
Well, I mean, I try to, well, too, like I said, you know, my thing is, you know, obviously I don't want to kick anybody while they're down. If I'm a Falcons fan, I'd prefer to have the Saints to be at full strength. You know, I don't think it's fair to kind of kick you guys, you know, while you're down. Because I don't want any excuses. Like, if we beat you, well, we didn't have Peyton coaching, or, you know, too many excuses. Let's bring
no,
it.
No, no,
I want you to have the
and
full
I don't
strength.
Think,
you know what I'm saying?
And I don't think we would use that as an excuse. I mean,
I know you guys wouldn't,
event.
But I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I'd prefer to be in a situation where, you know, let's bring your best. You know, if you beat us, you beat us. Cool. You know, stuff like that. So that's kind of my opinion on everything, too. Now, as a Falcon fan, kind of looking on the outside in on this particular situation, maybe we should have a third party, too, and I don't think we're going to have the time to finish this conversation. But what I would say, and this is something I'm going to tell you, you know, watching Jonathan Vilma, I don't think Jonathan Vilma is a dirty player. He doesn't get a lot of unsportsmanlike, you know, conduct.
Yeah, one personal foul
like
in
that.
3 years.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I agree with that. Now, I think he's being definitely punished for being guilty by association. Now, what I will say, and this is something that I'm always gonna say this, and we're talking about
association
this,
of what?
Being guilty of being, you know, the whole thing with everything that's the whole thought process behind this, you know, the whole thing with Greg Williams. You know, now we talk about having evidence and all this. You know, vice versa stuff. I agree. The NFL has definitely mishandled it. But, and like I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face, you know, the Saints are definitely being made an example. Is it fair?
There's no doubt
no.
about that.
It's not so. And also, I will say this, too. Now, if you're Roger Goodell, the dictator, as Robert likes to call him, and you will do everything in your power to protect the image and the shield of the NFL. Now, with that, you can probably get away with some things because it is almost like a monopoly situation that you don't have any type of, what's the word I'm looking for, accountability, or, you know, you are the judge, law, jury, all this. And there is too much power in that scenario. But
very much. He has more power than the President of the United States has.
But what I will say to this is that, you know, Roger, he really doesn't have to answer anyone if he doesn't want to. And that's kind of what he's doing. He's like, you know what? Yeah, I may not have to tell you guys that I have evidence, but you guys, what you did was wrong. I told you. You guys did it, Saints. And there's probably other things going on, too. But he's like, I don't have to tell you guys anything. This is just a farce for me just to let you guys, oh, you want to play around in the media? We'll do this. It's not fair. There may not be a lot of evidence. But I'm telling you, Roddy VL is basically making you guys an example. And like I said, we got to
drop this out. That's clear.
We'll have to keep talking about this, too, because there's not enough time for us to keep talking about this. But like I said, that's the viewpoint that I'm taking as trying to be as neutral as possible, and that the intent was always there. Roddy didn't like how it was. It's kind of like you pretty much slapped me in the face, made me look bad. So now I'm going to make you guys, I'm going to come after you guys, too. So, you know, we'll have to keep talking about this issue, unfortunately, all season long.
Well, that's our time for the show this evening, folks. Join us next Wednesday, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be talking more about the NBA. We'll be crowning an NBA champion before then. We'll be talking more about the NBA draft. And I'm sure there'll be something new that will come out about this Saints bounty issue. So make sure you all join us on next week. We hope that you all have a fantastic week. Look forward to talking to you on next Wednesday.
Good night, people.